Hello, my name is Natalie. This is the first episode of the Growing Older podcast. I named it this because one of my favorite animals are crows, and I'm also a woman in my early 20s who is growing older, and I thought that was a funny play on words. So I want to start off these podcast episodes by listing off my big three. And those are my current ick, my current green flag, and my current obsession. My current ick would be people who don't respect boundaries. I've had a couple people now not respect my boundaries, and it's weird that it all happened at the same era of life. Like, this rarely happens to me. Anyways, one is a guy, I won't name his name, but it starts with an E. He, after I told him I'm busy during the week and I'm not gonna respond to you as often, just sends me a LMAO fuck you. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is okay? Like, he was just immature and I don't want to get into it, but yeah, anyways, my current green flag are people who are supportive and who aren't selfish. They will take time out of their day to support me when I need it. I'm not one to really ask for support because I like to do things on my own, but seeing as I just got out of a breakup, that is something that I have been searching for. So my therapist, my mother, and a couple of friends have been really amazing to me. And lastly, I will talk about my current obsession, which I have two of. One is New York. And you must be like, what the fuck is she talking about? How are you obsessed with a state? I went to New York once, and I loved it. And this was before I developed my panic disorder and my agoraphobia. So it was my last, like, big hurrah vacation. Of course, I didn't know it at the time, but that's how I see it now. And I was watching Just Go With It with my sister the other day, and I love Adam Sandler, God bless that man. He was walking in the, you know, the scene where it's like J.D. McFlanagan's or something. It's like a Chuck E. Cheese sort of, but like bigger. He was walking in the door and he had an NYU shirt on. And I was like, that's a fucking dope ass shirt. I want that shirt. So I went on the NYU website and I bought a couple things. I got the money for it. I'm blessed. I bought a couple fucking things. Sue me. My other obsession is instant udon. Instant udon noodles. I bought them at Costco and I can just say that I am in love with them. It's been getting a little colder out. And I love to just get home, and for my dinner, I don't like to have a heavy dinner, and it's not very heavy. It's just, like, water with seasoning and, like, fucking cooked thick noodles. Yeah, I have been loving it. Like I said, I bought it at Costco, six-pack. I don't know the brand, but it says udon in big letters. And the package itself is like a beige or whatever. Anyways, those are my big three. Our topic for today is overcoming fear and taking risks. Now, take everything that I say with a grain of salt because I'm 21 and I have not yet lived a full life, even though I feel like it. But these are just my experiences as a 21-year-old. And I will speak as though I know what I'm talking about. So I ChatGPT generated a few questions about this topic, and I will answer them for you now. So our first question is, what do you think is the root cause of fear when it comes to taking risks? And is it more psychological or societal? Wow, these questions, ChatGPT. Honestly, I think it depends on the type of risk being taken. There are a lot of risks that are associated with the mental aspect of life, and these are usually very personal in the sense of only you are really going through this battle. I'll give you an example. So, like I said, that I struggle with agoraphobia and panic disorder. I have for many years. And I would take a risk every day by doing this thing called exposure therapy. Love my therapist, love Shauna. I would go out every day a little further and do something that scared me every single day. And to me, that was a risk. I would, there was this one specific light, this stoplight, that would scare the fuck out of me. That was like my big hurdle. And when I got past it, it was amazing, whatever. But yeah, that's my example of me taking risks. That's only like your personal battle. That's mental, it's psychological. Then there are some societal risks that I think society does push on people a lot. I think a big example is college. College is, whether you think it is or not, a big risk. There's this pressure that after you graduate high school, college is the immediate next step. And for a lot of people, college is not the right fit. There are so many people that are so successful without having gone to college or who dropped out. And going to college is a big risk, but also deciding that college isn't right for you or dropping out is an even bigger risk. And I think society puts that pressure on you that to say that dropping out of college or the fact that college isn't right for you should be ashamed of that. And you absolutely should not. Okay, we'll move on to the next question. How do you personally distinguish between a fear that's worth overcoming and one that might actually be serving as a protective instinct? That's a loaded question, ChatGPT. Thank you for that. Personally, I think it all dwindles down to picking one of two things when you're looking at the fear or the risk. It's either intuition or facts. And I'll explain. So, first of all, following your intuition is not easy. I'm still learning how to do it myself. But when you know, right? As far as facts, if you're not really willing to take a risk, look at the pros and the cons and weigh out the possible outcomes of taking said risks. Distinguishing between which one to follow, your intuition or your facts, all comes down to the type of fear. If it's a smaller fear, like trying a new food you're scared of, or wearing a particularly flashy piece of clothing out and about, then I would use your intuition. Feel it. How does it feel? Does it feel right? It should feel scary, but does it feel right? Or if it's a big fear or something that scares you a lot, like dropping out of college or buying a new house or deciding to have a baby, I don't know. Or if you were agoraphobic like me, then you kind of have to know to follow the facts, right? But I mean, I do agree that some fears are there to protect you. Like, if you're a woman like me and you're walking alone at night, then I would agree that that's a situation where your fear is actually a protective instinct. Or maybe if you're jumping out of a plane, like you're going skydiving. Like, I don't know how many people have died from that. Probably not a lot. But like, I feel like it's still a possibility. Like, that's scary. Then, yeah, protective instinct. In which case, get the hell out of there, whether you're walking alone at night and you're a woman or you're skydiving. Like, humans were not made to be up in a plane jumping out thousands of feet. Like, that's not. God put us here to be on Earth with our 2 feet. That's it. Anyways, I would say that I personally distinguish between a fear that's worth overcoming and one that might actually be serving as a protective instinct. By looking at how big the fear is, or how scary it is to me. In which case, once again, I would follow the facts. Okay, next question. In my experience, how can someone start to embrace discomfort in their daily life without feeling overwhelmed or being paralyzed by it? Do it slowly. Whatever it is, do it gradually. For example, if someone is afraid of public speaking, then they can start by speaking up, like in a meeting or making small talk with like a stranger. These actions are, yeah, they're going to be uncomfortable because you're fucking afraid, but it's within your control. And I think that's where you have to start. The key is to set realistic, gradual goals that stretch your comfort zone just enough to foster a sort of personal growth without it triggering a sense of paralysis or fear. I don't really have anything else to say on that topic. Do it slowly, take little risks at a time, and you'll be fine. Next question. What role does failure play in the process of taking risks? Do you believe failure is an essential step towards growth? Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely, I think that failure is an essential step towards growth. How else are you supposed to fucking learn if you do not fail? As far as failure's role in the process of taking risks, I think that people are afraid to fail, which prevents them from taking the said risks, right? I think I'm definitely one of those people. I'll give you an example. I would never, ever, ever want to play dodgeball, or what else would they play in middle school PE? Dodgeball is the main one. Or kickball, was that one? I don't know. I would never want to do it because I knew I would do bad. So I just like never tried. Who knows, what if I was secretly really good? But whatever. Which is a terrible mindset. Do the thing, take the risk. Who cares if you look stupid or if you fail? You're going to fail so many things in life. It's 100% inevitable, so just do the thing. Failure prevents people from taking risks. They're scared of failure. Do the fucking thing. You got it. Next question. Can you share a personal story where you had to confront a fear and take a risk that ultimately led to a positive outcome? I don't know how many people can relate to this, but I'm gonna bring it up again. I've struggled with agoraphobia and panic disorder for many years now. I think it started in 2020, so, or 2019. I don't know, it's been 4 or 5 years. Maybe I'll share the story of how I developed these disorders, but my main thing was going past that stupid fucking light post, that stoplight. What is it? Is it called a stoplight? The red, yellow, green? That's a stoplight, right? Anyways, I would go, so there's a little, how do I explain this? At the stoplight, there's a place to make a U-turn back into my, up my street. That wasn't very hard to explain. I don't know why I said that. So every time I would be at the stoplight, I would have a fear of going past the stoplight. So like, it's not the stoplight itself, but going past it. And every day I would make a U-turn back up my street, U-turn, U-turn, U-turn. And I took that risk one day. I think my mom was driving me. I was like, I can't do it. I literally can't do it. Like something, it sounds so stupid now, but when you have these mental barricades, nothing is scarier than your mind. Nothing. It will make you believe the craziest shit. I got high one time, and I was convinced I was in Mario Kart. You know, that was probably the drugs talking, but that's still my brain working, right? Your brain is scary. And how people function every day being fine is beyond me, because you're not fine. Nobody in life is fine. We're all struggling. We're all, you know, going through our shit. We're all not okay, and that's okay. But the brain is so scary, and we don't even know exactly how it works. Like, scientists are still discovering how the brain fucking works. One day, I'm convinced, we're gonna be able to project dreams. Right? I want to do that so fucking bad, because my dreams are so crazy. Anyways, my stoplight story. I had my lavender incense, my lavender essential oils ready. I had this pillow I sleep with every night as a comfort thing. I was like huffing the fuck out of that oil. And I was like, Mom, I can't do it. And we would go up and down the street until one day I just shut the fuck up and let her drive. And I did that risk. I was so scared of that light. And since then, I've been able to go 30 minutes on the freeway, right? And I couldn't even go down my hill. That was a huge, huge fear of mine. Huge. It consumed my life for months. It's just that stoplight. I probably even had nightmares about it. I don't know. But, yeah, that's my personal story, where you had to confront a fear and take a risk that ultimately led to a positive outcome. That is that. That is my personal story. Not very long, but yeah. Next question. For those who have a deep-rooted fear of change or failure, where would you suggest they start to make a small, manageable shift towards embracing risk? Wow. I think a helpful starting point is to focus on making very small, very low stake changes in their daily routine that don't feel very intimidating. I can give you an example. They could take a different route to work, route or route, I don't know, or try a new food, or adjust your morning routine very slightly, like eat first and then brush your teeth, which I do. Oh my god, if you brush your teeth then eat, you are disgusting. I mean, you're not gross, but like, you know what I mean? Anyways, so changing, giving these little changes in your life, these little minor shifts, they introduce a bit of novelty without significant risk, right? Helping to build some form of comfort with change. All these talks of change remind me of my dad. He hates change. I think all men do, to be honest. I think it's a man thing. They hate change. What is it about them? Anyways, I think what we can also do to combat this, right, is setting a goal to try something new each week that doesn't have major consequences, like sharing or vocalizing your idea in a meeting, or experimenting with a creative project at home that you haven't had time to do, or you've been scared to try. I'm terrified to try sculpting because I'm scared I'm gonna fail. I'm scared it's not gonna look good. That's sometimes, I paint a lot, or I don't paint a lot. I like to paint. And I'm scared of painting sometimes, not because I lack the motivation and I don't want it to be a stupid painting, but because I'm afraid it won't look good. Right? I know there's, like, art is very subjective, and who knows what good art is, but I'm afraid it's not gonna look good. I'm afraid I'm gonna fail at art. No one can really fail at art, but that's just how I see it. How I see myself. I think I'm gonna fail, so I won't do the painting. Like, I just did a painting recently about two guys, and there's branches coming out of them. And I had it all set up in my head. I was like, yeah, this is a painting about growth and change and finding yourself. And I thought it looked like shit, right? A lot of people are telling me you should be so proud of yourself. Like, it's such a good painting. Like, I would buy it. I'm like, they're all lying to me. Anyways, where was I? Oh yeah, little goals, little changes. Yeah, so share a small idea in a little meeting. Like, vocalize your idea. That's uncomfortable, but it's good for you. Setting these small goals. And, you know, you should celebrate each attempt. I think attempts are worth celebrating. Even if the result isn't perfect, right? I need to tell myself that with my paintings. This can help reduce your fear of failure by shifting the focus from the outcomes to the courage it takes to try. And over time, this steady practice will help build your confidence in taking risks. It'll create this sort of foundation for embracing more significant changes later on. I think that's beautiful, right? All right, next question. How important is mindset when it comes to taking risks? Are there specific mental strategies you've found effective in overcoming fear? All right, don't get mad at me. And this might be controversial, but I don't think mindset affects your ability to take risks. I will elaborate on this. You can be depressed, and you can be anxious and scared and all the bad things, but still take the risk anyway because you subconsciously know it's probably for the better to do the scary thing. Your mindset is how you view yourself and your current situation, right? And you can totally be insecure and feel small and still be able to do the thing. You got this, even if you don't feel like it. I mean, I have an example of this. It's not necessarily a risk, but it's about mindset. I struggle with depression, and it's like a wave. It comes and it goes. It's not very lasting. But when I do get depressed, and I think this is controversial. Not really, but society makes you feel like, oh, you're depressed, you're just sad. No, I'm depressed, so I can't shower for a week. I can't brush my teeth twice a day. I can't eat three meals a day. I can't get out of bed. You know, that's the kind of depressed I get. And that's the kind of depressed I think a lot of people get, but they're too afraid to say it. Because society is like, you're disgusting. And that's absolutely not true. I mean, maybe it's a little gross that I don't shower. I mean, I shower. I shower every day. Well, I do now. But when I'm depressed and I don't shower for like 4 days or something, like, from an outsider perspective, it's a little gross. But when you're in your headspace, you feel like shit, and you don't want to do anything, you can't do anything. And that affects you a lot, your mindset. But I don't think mindset affects your ability to take risks. Does that make sense? I don't know where I was going with that. You know what I'm talking about. You can still do the thing. You can still do the thing, and you will be fine. Next question. What role does self-doubt play in fear, and how can someone combat it when they're pushing themselves to take bigger risks? Okay. So this is similar, but honestly very different to the previous question. I think doubt is a very strong driving factor to not taking risks, and therefore contributes to fear by making it a bigger deal in your head than most of the times it actually is. But basically what I'm saying is self-doubt amplifies the fear, and as it feeds the negative thoughts and undermines your confidence, it makes it harder to take the action on the new risk or the challenge, right? So when pushing to take this big risk, self-doubt can make these obstacles feel insurmountable, right? By focusing your attention on this positive failure or perceived inadequacies, this sort of internal battle, this internal dialogue can create this like loop where fear of failure becomes self-fulfilling, right? As it discourages meaningful action or resilience in the face of setbacks. I'll repeat that again. This internal dialogue can create a loop where fear of failure becomes self-fulfilling as it discourages meaningful action or resilience in the face of setbacks. I actually wrote that down. So I think to combat this self-doubt, an effective approach is to reframe it, right, as a normal part of growth rather than a signal to stop. For example, someone might recognize self-doubt as a companion to growth, seeing it as sort of a proof that they're stretching themselves, but practicing self-compassion is also a key. Be kind to yourself. Believe in yourself. Instead of criticizing themselves for feeling inadequate, remind themselves that everyone experiences self-doubt. Everyone. Another technique is to focus on strengths by listing past successes or skills that they can rely on. And I wrote this down here. Breaking down big risks into smaller steps and celebrating small wins along the way can help to build confidence and reduce the paralyzing effects of self-doubt. Over time, these strategies reinforce a mindset that embraces risk as a path to learning, rather than as a validation of self-doubt. It is hard. It is so hard to believe in yourself. I have struggled so often and for so many years with hating myself, not believing myself in myself, thinking I'm not good enough, thinking I'm not pretty enough, right? But you are. And I know it's cheesy probably, but I will tell you that you are way more than you think you are. And it's probably nothing coming from someone like me, and you probably still won't believe it, and that's expected. But I think learning to not doubt yourself is something that you will not figure out ever. You will always have that little voice in the back of your head saying that you can't do it, that you're not good enough, that taking this risk will lead to bad things, or this fear is valid. Just remember that you are not your mind. You are absolutely not your mind. I know a lot of people that struggle with intrusive thoughts, myself included. And some people think intrusive thoughts are like, oh, haha, I'm gonna use this knife and stab it in the air. Haha, OMG, intrusive thought, I spilled this water all over the floor. No, my intrusive thought is having bestiality with my dog. My intrusive thought is poisoning myself with chemicals from the lab I take. You are not your mind. And I can't emphasize that enough. We've talked a lot about fear and self-doubt and taking risks and mindset. And I still have not figured it all out. I have a chemistry test tomorrow, and I have not studied. Am I worried? Absolutely not. I think that taking risks is a huge part of life. I think you have to do that thing. Hell, I'm a senior in college, by the way, and I just changed my major. Sue me. Sue me. That was a huge risk and a huge decision. I was initially a biology major, and I did that for years, right? I thought I was going to be a doctor. I did all these volunteer hours in the hospital. I talked to these guidance counselors. I shadowed a physician. I took all the science classes. Granted, I still have, would still have like a year or two left. So like, I'm not completely done. Super senior, whatever, kill me, I don't care. And I changed my major. I realized that I kind of don't like it anymore. And I'm absolutely blessed to have the privilege and the ability to choose what I want to do in life. My family is very stable financially. We're very comfortable. And I'm absolutely blessed and grateful. And I know a lot of people don't have that luxury. But I changed my major to English literary option. So studying literature. God, I love to read. I love written words. I love poems. I love art. Oh, I'm minoring in art. That's amazing. And that was a huge risk for me. Huge. Granted, I haven't told a lot of people. So I'm telling everyone on this podcast. I have a couple more questions here that I didn't write notes for. So, maybe we can go through that. Are there any books, podcasts, or resources that have been particularly helpful for you in understanding how to take risks and overcoming fear? Two come to mind. One significantly more than the other. I'll talk about the lesser of the two. Not that the podcasts are better, but for this topic, I mean. So one is Anything Goes, I think it's called. Everything Goes, Anything Goes. Let me look that up really quick. By Emma Chamberlain. It is Anything Goes, yes. Anything Goes with Emma Chamberlain. She talks a lot about mental health and a lot about self-doubt. And I think that really ties into our topic pretty well. And then the other podcast I would recommend is The Psychology of Your 20s. It's a beautiful, I think she's British, beautiful British lady. And she goes really into depth about a lot of different topics. And I really love that podcast. Do you believe fear is something that can ever be fully overcome, or is it more about learning to coexist with it? I think that man, that's a tough one. I think more the latter. It's something you can coexist with. I don't think you ever really get over fear. I think it's always, always going to be in the back of your mind. You can learn to live with it, though. I'll give you an example. Let's say you had a really bad instance at a bar where some guy was harassing you. He just, like, it wasn't a good time. And now you've been scared to go back to that bar. So you put it off, even though you love that bar. You put it off. You put it off week after week. You walk by it. You can't go in, though. You can't manage to get in that bar. But one day, you decide to go in with a friend. And you see that guy there. And you realize he's a regular, right? But he doesn't bother you. I think where I'm going with this is you can get over the fear of that instance, but it's always going to be in the back of your mind. You have to learn to live with it. So you're both regulars at this bar, even though he harassed you that one time. But you're always going to remember it. So it's something you have to live with. It's something you have to coexist with. And I mean, there's probably some instances where people really get over fear. Like, I'll give you another example of that, is my mom. She was probably at one point, maybe when she was little, scared of needles. Now, she loves shots. She's like, just fucking stick me with it. I don't give a fuck. She likes to get shots. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, likes to, but she, like, doesn't have a problem with it. And that's not something I can ever see her getting more scared of or fear coming back. So that's something she got over. But I think it's more of the latter. Like, big fears are something you coexist with. I'll do one more question. What's the role of community or support networks when it comes to overcoming fear and taking risks? How important is it to have people cheering you on or offering guidance? I think human connection is the greatest thing life offers. I think support, communities, clubs, organizations, I think people banding together and supporting each other and helping each other and living with each other and loving each other, I think that's the most beautiful thing life has given us. Help each other. Lift each other up. The role of community or support networks when it comes to overcoming fear and taking risks. Having that community and that support to fall back on when you're taking a big risk. Let's say you want to move out. I'll bring up my obsession with New York. Let's say I want to move to New York, right? And I'm so scared. How? And I get there and I just got settled in my apartment and I have this major breakdown. I'm terrified. I'm like, what the fuck did I just do? Is it going to be better if you have a group of friends to call up or if you have no one? You're immediately going to call up your friends. Be like, guys, what did I do? And they're going to be like, no, girl, you did the most amazing thing ever. You got out of your comfort zone and you took that risk and you're in the most amazing city in the world. Like, you're going to have fun. You're going to be fine. Or is it better to just sit there and ruminate in your thoughts? Right? People are amazing. I think I don't really have a group of friends. I mean, I would love to. Right? I'm in college and maybe that's partially my fault. I'd go home straight after class. I'm not in any clubs or organizations. It's probably my fault. But I know I need to put myself out there. I don't have a group of friends, but I would love one. I think taking these big risks, like changing my major and having support, that would be awesome. Are you kidding me? Okay, I think that's all the time I have for today, but you got this. You will be fine. Take a breath and do the thing. All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you. Bye.